Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
These last few weeks while you've been sunning yourselves, some of you, I've been having a very, very rich time, revelation with the Lord. Usually when, you know, everybody else away in August, I take the opportunity to write. But I just felt this time that the Lord's saying, no, instead of writing, pray. And so I haven't done very much writing at all. But a lot of revelation, really, especially about what God wants to do in us so that he can do among us what he is planning in these coming months. And last Tuesday, even though there are only about four or five of us, I did a full-on keynote, which we recorded, because God had given me such a, I believe, a significant word, which is recorded, so you can listen to that, if you will. I'm not going to repeat it now, except just to mention in about 2 minutes what it was about, because it launches us into what I believe God is wanting us to focus on today. Only Jesus can build his church. I will build my church. And one of the ways, of course, that his church is described in the New Testament is that we are living stones in the temple of God. And last week was really a message about what that means, to be living stones that God is building together. And one of the things that he was showing me was that when you build with stone, you're building with the rock. Remember, he said to Peter, you are the boulder, literally, a rock on the bedrock. But the boulder shares the same life constituency as the rock. So there are no bricks in the temple of God, because brick is a man-made substance. There are only these stones that share the same nature as the bedrock. And when you put stones in a building, in a wall, those stones are obviously knit together with the other stones around, but each stone is in or is subjected to a certain pressure. And what has been happening in the last few months or several months is that some stones that were part of what God has been building here have removed themselves. And the Lord was showing me that is because there are flaws in those stones that would not be able to stand the pressure of what he's going to do. The pressure being a good thing, not a negative thing. That under pressure, stones crack. Now, what he has also shown me is that none of the stones that are in a strategic place in the building have been removed, because that would endanger the whole building. That in a building, if you think of, you know, some stones being on the top or a little bit here, but the main sort of substance of the building is beneath, at the heart of everything. You understand what I mean? So the Lord has known that the stones that have been removed are not those that are in a strategic position. And that hinders, in a sense, if stones are moved, it hinders in a sense, but the building up of the temple. But what is built as a result will be strong. So more stones will be added, but when they're added, they're not put in a strategic position where there's more of the pressure. But we, this is going a little bit beyond the message of last week, because God's continued to speak about us. But we who are part of the team are in those positions of strategic pressure. In other words, God is going to build around, not just the team, but around the faithful, if you like, the people of Zion in the church. And when you add stones, they go onto the top. If you build, yes, yes. And they're not absorbing any pressure. He doesn't expect them to have pressure at first, but then he begins to build on them and begins to build on them. Now, these living stones have to be dressed. You can't, they don't allow you to go right up to the walls at the Temple Mount now, you know, the foundation walls there. But you used to be allowed to actually go up and touch it. And there's these enormous great blocks of stone there. But they've been so well dressed or prepared, you can't even put a sheet of paper between. They're dry stone, there's no cement or anything. But they're so accurately dressed, you can't even put a sheet of paper in between them. And, you know, that speaks of the unity that God wants to see amongst those who are really going to, around whom God is going to build. And so we can see the responsibility, really, that we have to be the kind of living stones that are going to be reproduced. We have to have the nature of the foundation stone, the bedrock, and others will, of course, take on that nature as they get at it. And God's purpose is to add to the body, to build the body up. Now, Pastor Eric brought this word about confessing faith, which is something we know about here in Kingdom Faith because we've taught it and practiced it for many, many years. Of course, knowing about it doesn't necessarily mean we do it. What Pastor Clive was saying yesterday morning is significant because this temple is only going to be built up if we're living in the good of all that God has made available to us. So part of our confession of faith is that we're confessing what is ours because it's what God has chosen to give to us. However, the heart of being a people of faith is not really knowing what we have, but who we are. And in these last few days, God has been speaking to me afresh about the fact that we are sons of God. We have the inheritance that we have because we're co-heirs with Christ. And as co-heirs with Christ, we inherit every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God has given us those blessings. But we're only co-heirs with Christ because we're sons of God. Now, if we're sons of God, his expectation is that we live as sons of God. Any of you who've read my first book about the revival in Luton, when the Spirit comes, know that this is the revelation that really transformed my whole life and ministry, realizing I'm a son of God. Because what that means is that each one of us, first of all, has to think like a son of God. So there has to be a renewing of our mind so we think sonship. And then speak as sons. Because we place our lives under the words we speak. So we think and speak and therefore act as sons of God. We pray as sons of God. We heal, we deliver, we set free as sons of God. We exercise the authority that God has given us as sons of God. Now, you see, with all these truths, we can know the truth and not live by revelation of it. You see, if I asked you before I started, do you know that you're a son of God? You would say yes, because the scripture says that by faith we are all the sons of God. Just as you know that you're a living stone in the temple that God has wanted to build up. Does that mean that we live and react and relate to one another as those living stones? Does it mean that we actually are thinking as sons of God, that we're speaking as sons of God, that we're praying as sons of God, exercising the authority of sons of God? We can know it and yet not do it. That's what I'm saying. And you see, we can know what Eric was saying on Sunday. We can know, yeah, that's right. We need to confess the Word of God. So when we pray, we confess the Word of God. But of course, we cannot sway between two opinions. That whatever we say in prayer has to be matched by what we say when we're not praying. Hello? Otherwise, the prayer is negated by what we say outside the prayer time. Because God is listening to our hearts, and from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can say the correct words when we pray, but God listens to what we say when we're not praying. Because that really is the evidence of faith, whether our speech matches our prayer language. So whether we're talking to God, whether we're talking to one another, whether we're talking to anybody else, there has to be a consistency in what we're saying, because there's a consistency in what we're believing. We really do believe it. And because we really do believe it, we say it not only when we pray, but we say it in conversation. We say it even when we're on our own. That we're speaking the truth over our lives constantly, all the time. Now, I think in these last two or three weeks, while I've been sort of having these times of prayer and really some tremendous times with the Lord, I've hardly ever known such spiritual opposition. It's as if, you know, everything from the enemy is trying to come against at the same time. And, of course, we have to withstand all that, don't we? It's a good thing in the sense that the enemy's worried. You know, if the enemy is taking notice of you, you must be doing something right. He doesn't need to take any notice of you when you're doing what he wants. So that's part of the pressure that we have to absorb in these living stones. And part of that pressure is, I believe, to get us to think, to speak, to act, to pray, to anything that is not like a son of God. That is less than that inheritance that we have, less than that status and position that we have before God as the sons of God. And so while Eric was speaking on Sunday, and while Clive was saying yes, I was inwardly saying yes, amen, amen, amen. And probably there are a lot of people in the church who have become members of Kingdom Faith since we really majored on what it means to confess faith. They've probably picked up little bits of it through jump into church and prayer meetings and so on. But there's a revelation here, isn't there? A revelation of how important what we say is. You know, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, it is written in the Psalms, I have spoken what I have believed. By the same spirit of faith, we also believe the truth and speak it openly and boldly, because we know that the Father who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with him. Yes, Jesus will present all believers to the Father so we can live eternally in his presence. Now, I've got a multitude of books all over the place, in about 3 rooms here and 2 rooms at home, that have accumulated over the years. Some I bought myself, others when I was sort of the top-selling author, I was always being sent books, 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 books by all the publishers because they wanted me to promote them. And I've been given lots of books, especially by people that have visited here over the years. And every now and again, the Spirit sort of speaks to me and says, just go to your bookshelf, and he'll point out a book. And this happened to me yesterday. And so I spent part of yesterday evening with the Power of Spoken Faith by Don Gossett. Now, those of you who've been around for some years will remember Don Gossett. What a lovely guy he is, and tremendous man of faith. Just a lovely, lovely man. I mean, the more you know him, the more lovely you see he is. And on his last visit to us, this was a new publication. He gave it to me and wrote inside it. And it's stuff that we are very familiar with. His never again list. Do you do it? Or has it been consigned to memory? I've typed out yesterday evening a slightly updated version. I'll give you a copy of the end, but let's just see how we're getting on. But there's no use us talking about this stuff in theory if we don't do it. Never again will I confess that I can't, for I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Never again means I will never, ever again in the rest of my life say that I can't do something, because I have living within me the one who enables me to do whatever it is God calls me to do. Never again will I confess lack, need, for my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Do we do it? Never again will I confess fear, for my God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Never again means I will never ever speak anything that could be thought of as doubt, unbelief. Everything I say is going to be from the spirit of faith. Never again will I confess weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life, and the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We know the scriptures. Never again will I confess supremacy of Satan over my life, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Never again will I confess defeat, for God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Never again will I confess lack of wisdom, for Christ Jesus has become my wisdom from God. Never again will I confess the domination of sickness over my life, for with his stripes I am healed. Never again will I confess worry and frustration, for I cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. In Christ, I am carefree. Talking about a life of faith, you see. I mean, there have been times when I wouldn't have needed to read these things out and prove like this because everybody would have been doing them. But I'm just raising the question now. You know whether you are or not. Never again will I confess bondage, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the last is, never again will I confess condemnation, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ, therefore I am free from condemnation. Now, of course, what we're talking about is not what we see, say. What we're really talking about is what is in our hearts. Because Jesus said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do with every aspect of the truth is to give us heart revelation. I was sort of thumbing through the book and I typed out something else, which I also give you, some sort of daily affirmations. The never again is, I'm not going to do any of those negative things, but I need to be confessing positives. Now, I haven't done so many of these, but because I think, you know, with the daily affirmations, we all ought to produce our own. And over the years, we produced several cards of daily affirmations of faith. But it was good, you know, just to go back to these things that Don Gossett was saying. Just have a fresh view of them from someone who's lived in the revelation of this over 50, 60 years. Guy's written over twice as many books as I have, over 100 books. But they've all been about the subject of faith, all of them. So let's just see how we get on with these, he calls daily affirmations. See, not whether we know it, but whether we do it. Are we getting the point? Because living stones will be dead stones if they're not alive. In Christ, with the life of Christ. Are you with me? Right, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. Well, sometimes, yes. But is it rejoicing always? See, it's the heart, isn't it? Today I choose love instead of fear. I choose peace instead of conflict. I choose to be a love finder instead of a fault finder. I choose to be a love giver instead of a love seeker. See, it's a disposition of heart. What he's talking about is the heart of a son of God. Because he's really talking about the heart of the Son of God. And the heart of the Son is to be reproduced in the sons. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Says the psalmist. Are we ever going to live up to that unless we keep speaking it? You see, he calls these daily affirmations. These are things he says over his life every day. Who knows, if you don't keep speaking these things, you slowly, inevitably slip away from doing them, even though you know they're right. Let the weak say, I am strong. Not let the strong say, but let the weak say, I am strong. I am a man or woman of God. He has cleansed me by the blood of Christ. My Father has filled me with his Spirit. So I am dedicated to the Lord Jesus, strong and powerful in him. I worship and serve him with all the divine energy he inspires within me. That's great. I mean, that encapsulates what God is saying to us about these coming months. How good to keep speaking it over our lives. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We know it, so we live accordingly. I am humble, strong, courageous, full of faith, and powerful in the Lord. He says in brackets, repeat three times. And those of you who have been here when he's visited, you know, he gets everybody doing these things, doesn't he? He preaches for an hour, and then everybody's confessing the truth for an hour. But by the end of that time, everybody's up here somewhere in terms of faith, because they've been speaking the truth over their lives for an hour or so. So I am humble, strong, courageous, full of faith, and powerful in the Lord. I am, because I'm a son of God. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am of God. My Father has adopted me into his family. He has moved me out of darkness and into the light of his kingdom. God's protective shield is about me, and he is providing for every need in my life. You see, one of the things that Don Gossett always says is you don't wait until you're in a time of need to confess these things. If you confess them every day, then those times of need will not arise. If they do, they're immediately met with the truth. My God shall supply for all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. The Lord is the strength of my life. Every day, in every way, by the grace of God, I am getting better and better through a positive attitude, through spoken words of faith, and through disciplined actions. You who are pastors, how many people in the church do you know that need to confess that over their lives? Very interesting, isn't it? Positive attitudes, spoken words of faith, disciplined actions. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God has forgiven me, and I forgive myself. Very important. A lot of people are in bondage because they've never forgiven themselves. They know they've failed and they've messed up. But if God has forgiven you, you have placed yourself above God if you don't forgive yourself. Very, very, very important. So, you see, if you don't forgive yourself, you'll just live with regrets. But part of God's forgiveness is even the things that you've regretted that you've done have passed away into nothingness. They no longer exist in the sight of God. You know, they're history, but God has put all those things behind his back. They're not ever to be seen again. The anointing of the Holy One remains in me. We know it because it says that in 1 John. But that means we're living in the power of the anointing all day, every day. My generous Father has blessed me with abundant life. I am grateful for this, and I enjoy giving my time, talents, money, and love to others. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's not, oh no, what now? It's a joy. Well, mm-hmm. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Well, we all know that one. But that's just one of many, isn't it? Mm-hmm. God loves me with an unconditional love, so I love him with all my heart, soul, and mind. I am free to love myself, and this allows me to love my neighbor. I overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony, because I do not love my life so much as to shrink from death. I belong to Jesus, so I am friendly, strong, happy, and victorious. Everything is fine. Is this good confession or is this good confession? Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. God has given me a strong body, a fine brain, and has filled me with his Holy Spirit. This makes me a talented, gifted, persistent, and hard worker. I will reach my goals. The Lord has given you a strong body. What you've done to it is another matter, but I mean the Lord has. And a fine brain? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God loves me, so I love him, believe in him, and trust my life to his care. I will faithfully serve him. I cast all my anxiety on him, for he cares for me. I think we all love this one when Don Gossett first brought it. I feel healthy. I feel happy. I feel terrific. The Lord is the strength of my life. God is my loving Father. He has given me a Savior, his Holy Spirit, a healthy body, a fine mind, material abundance, a beautiful world, and many friends. I am thankful, I am thankful, I am thankful. Now, I mean, I've done some of these. You can take them and do them what you will. But see, the principle is this, that while you are believing the positive, there's no room for the negative. Because you can only say one thing at a time, while you're saying the positive, you cannot say the negative. When you're believing the positive, when you're believing the truth, because the truth is positive, you're not believing the negative. The enemy's whole intent in the lives of Christians is to get them to be negative. Everything about God, everything about his kingdom is positive. Life, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, joy, peace, power, salvation, deliverance, authority, everything, everything about God and his kingdom, everything about a son of God is positive. The enemy's whole intent is to get us to be negative. Judge, criticize, condemn, speak ill of yourself, do yourself down, criticize others. It's all use your mouth for the negative, for the negative, for the negative. And you know all these things from Proverbs that your mouth really is to be a fountain of life. It is to produce healing and deliverance. You know, good rivers of living water flowing out because of what we say. But of course, it all has to be said with faith. It all comes down to this. He's got another one of his, he loves these little things, doesn't he? Because very simple to teach them to other people. God is who he says he is. We always say amen to that. So I am who God says I am. It doesn't matter what anybody else says about me, it's what God says about me that matters. God can do what he says he can do. I can do what God says I can do. If he says I can do all things through faith in him, then I can. God has what he says he has, and I have what God says I have. You see, the whole thing is what God says. He is what he says. I am what he says. He can do what he says. I can do what he says. He has what he says. I have what he says. So the whole thing boils down to this. I can only live in agreement with God if I agree with what he says. If I don't agree with what he says by what I say, I can't be living in unity with him. I can't be revealing and expressing his life. I'm not living as a son of God. A son of God will agree with the Father. And we will agree with our elder brother, the Son of God. So it all boils down to this simple truth. Can any two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, this temple that he is building is for his glory, for his purposes. When stones have removed themselves from the temple that is being built here, they immediately become critical of the temple and other people in the temple. While they were part of the temple, Kingdom Faith was the best church going, and some of them were in it for a long time, but as soon as they've removed, they're critical. Because Jesus said, those who are not with you are against you. That is so true. To your face, they might say all kinds of nice things about Kingdom Faith. Oh, I so appreciated my time at Kingdom Faith. But to others, they will be speaking critically. Better that than to have any negativity within the temple. Because any negativity within the temple is a cracked stone that won't be able to take the pressure of what God is going to do. Because the bigger the building, the more pressure, the more weight the stones have to absorb. Are we getting this? So, what are we going to do these next few weeks at the 8 o'clock? What God showed us as a result of the build-up to camp and what happened at camp is we actually don't need a lot of words. What we need to do is to meet with God. And what we do say needs to be affirming what he says. Because if the spirit of faith is operating amongst us in the way that God intends, then it's with that same spirit of faith that we believe and therefore speak. That whatever comes out of our mouth is to be faith, is to be positive. Why? Because God's desire is to build up the body. The fivefold ministry exists to edify, to build up. Negative words pull down and destroy. Whereas the truth builds people up. And it's not being unrealistic. You know, this is one of the things that people sometimes charge people of faith with. You're unrealistic. No, no, no. It's being very realistic. Because if we're unrealistic, Jesus is unrealistic and God is unrealistic. If what we're saying agrees with what he says, then you can hardly accuse us of being unrealistic. We are confessing the truth that is able to set others free. But of course, that same truth enables us to live in freedom if we're speaking that truth over our lives. So you just need to take this away. You can take these sheets away just as a starting point, really. Just do a bit of business with the Lord. Say, oh okay, Lord, where is my speech and therefore my heart lined up with you, and where is it not? Are there any ways in which I'm dishonoring you by the things I'm saying because they are not in agreement with you, with your word? And if that speaks to you about something that God needs to do in your heart, let him do it. Now, the last thing I want to say, because, I mean, we were doing this long before I ever knew Don Gossett. But when we met up and spoke at conferences many years ago now, it was like listening to the truth that God had shown us. Because very, very few people at that time, when I first knew Don Gossett many years ago, very, very few people were actually preaching and teaching this stuff. Way back, that is. So now, there's this new season where there's not going to be any room or time for the negatives. Only for the positives. So, you know, I think you can understand, can't you? It's not just a question of doing these things. Say, okay, I'm going to use the never again list every day for the next week. What we're talking about is getting heart or fresh heart revelation. Because what it boils down to is this. This becomes normal, natural. It's not something you put on or have to remind yourself to do. It becomes who you are. And I think what you'll probably find, if you just spend a little bit of time being honest before God with this stuff, is that in some ways you're doing it and in some ways you're not. So praise God for the positive. And this is just one of God's tweaking times. Where he's not slamming us. He's saying, okay, come on, let's get all these little streaks of negativity out. Because it's the little foxes that can spoil the vine. So let's get these little foxes out. Come on, they don't belong. They don't belong. They're not part of you. They're not the new creation I made you. They don't belong in the Son of God. They're not part of the new heart that I put within you. These negative things haven't come from my spirit. So where have they come from? From you, from the world, from the devil. But they haven't come from him. So this is going to be good. We've got 4 weeks before the students come and are blown away by how positive everybody here is. And it doesn't matter who they go to on the team, who they talk to, they get this same positive affirmation that builds them up. So it's not just what they get taught about being now in Christ and all that, which is always comes in the first week of the first term of the year, doesn't it? But the way these guys live it. Well, people have said that in the past. Why shouldn't they say it now? Shall we all stand? I think just respond to the Lord as you will. I mean, we could go through these never again lists and so on, but I think you need to do that in your own time if it's what you want to do. It's Thank you, Lord, that everything you have done for us is positive. Thank you that you took every negative to the cross. Thank you that every negative was crucified with you. That you dealt with all sin, you dealt with all sickness, you dealt with Satan, you dealt with everything that could ever oppose us or come against us or seek to undermine our faith. Thank you that you conquered all those things on the cross and you rose victorious from the grave, having conquered death itself. We praise you, Lord, that we do not need to live with a load of negative things going on in our lives, in our minds, in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our relationships, in what we say, in what we do. Thank you, Lord, that even though the enemy may come against us to really try to sow negative seeds, we say no to him. We take the shield of faith against all his fiery darts. We uproot any weeds that we have allowed him to sow into our minds and our thinking. We repent, Lord, this morning of any negative words that we have spoken, but Lord, from the negative attitudes from which those words have come, from any negative streaks or strains, any impurities in our hearts that have given birth to those negative words and attitudes, we thank you that you are he who cleanses the heart by the power of your precious blood. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you just take all this nonsense out of our lives. Praise your holy name. And we are those who are filled with your Holy Spirit. And we don't want anything, Lord. We don't want anything to damage the witness of your Spirit in our lives. We thank you that pure water and salt water cannot flow from the same spring. So, Lord, we repent of any impurities that have flowed out of our mouths because they've come from our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that now our mouths are going to be pure springs, that we're going to speak pure living water, no negativity, no judgmentalism, no criticism, no nothing, Lord, that is going to destroy and pull down, but only that which is going to build up and edify and strengthen ourselves and your people. Lord, help us to understand that when we speak negative things over others, we're actually speaking negativity over ourselves at the same time. We are giving birth to something negative in our own hearts. And Lord, just help us to understand that so that we see how nonsensical it is to do such things. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you for pure hearts, pure water flowing out, Lord. That our words will be streams of life. And we stand against these lies to say this is unrealistic and you know, we're justified in criticizing this and standing against that and all the rest. Lord, we thank you that you were always positive. As we read your word, Lord, we see how you spoke the positive right in the face of all the negativity that came against you. You never compromise the truth. And Lord, when you were falsely accused, we thank you that you stood silent. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Purala bazatari elero bakara sitri sanduma. Barala bazatari elero bakara sitri satu bakara sanduma. Thank you that we're living stones, Lord. Thank you that you are speaking this word to us so we can absorb all the pressure of the building work that is going to happen in these coming months. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to be able to absorb the increased pressure of more people, of all the things that are going to happen. Good things, Lord, as you build up the body, as you build up the temple. Thank you, Lord, that you're making sure that no piece of paper can get into the cracks between us. Nothing to divide us. Thank you that you've made us one. Kukara batari eletu bakala sitaba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that in the church there are so many of these living stones, reliable, dependable people that will absorb the pressure, that give their lives to you and to others. And we thank you, Lord, that as more and more people come in during these coming months, so they're going to be able to absorb, but they're going to be good stones. No flaws, no cracks, because there's going to be such a deep repentance and faith in their lives right from the very beginning of their Christian experience. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise. We bless you, Jesus. 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 Porala bazatari elero bagarazita ba. Baratapari elero bagarazita di sando bagarazuta di satuba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sata bagarazatari elero bagarazita ba. Borata bagarazata bagarazita ba. Lord, let this become revelation to every one of us that never again will we need to give in to any of those negatives. Never. Not just sometimes, but never. Not just for a period of time while we think about these things, but never again. Never again. Because we are who you say we are, sons of God, living stones. Thank you that we share the nature of the Son, the nature of your Son, Lord. We are rocks on the bedrock. Thank you that we have the same characteristics as the Son of God. We want to live accordingly, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Pora la bazatari eletto bagarasi. Lord, I pray that we will keep affirming not just these truths, but the truth over our lives. We just keep affirming it, Lord. We won't wait for problems to arise before we affirm the answer to the problem, but we just keep affirming the truth, keep speaking the truth, keep declaring the truth over our life. Not just when we're praying, Lord, not just when we're going through a passage of Scripture and saying, you know, we can affirm that in our lives. But Lord, let these things be so living in our hearts that it's the way we think. That the truth forms the attitudes that we have. Right at the heart of everything we do. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Give you glory, Lord. You have turned to him, the living stone, that was rejected by men, but chosen by God, and is precious to him. So now you are to be living stones yourselves that God can build into a spiritual dwelling place for himself. You have become a holy priesthood because of all you offer to God through your faith in Jesus Christ, spiritual sacrifices that please him. For it is written in Scripture, "Look and see, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone. Anyone who trusts in him will never be ashamed. This stone is so precious to you, but not to those who do not believe in Jesus. This stone that the builders rejected became the keystone. So to those who do not believe, he is a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. It is because they disobey the message given them that they stumble. and so are destined for the condemnation that is inevitable for those who reject their means of salvation. By contrast, you see what you have become, people chosen by God himself. You are a royal priesthood because you offer your lives in sacrifice as those who live in the King. You are a holy nation, not a nation with geographical boundaries, but a people set apart for God, a people who truly belong to him. Why has God done all this for you? So that you can declare with your mouths and by the way you live the praises of this wonderful God who called you out of darkness and has brought you into his wonderful light. There was a time when you did not belong to these people who formed God's kingdom on earth. But now each of you is one of God's people. Before you did not experience his mercy, but now you are who you are because of that mercy. So I implore you, my dear friends, because you are strangers and do not belong to this world, refuse to yield to any sinful desires that will only fight against the well-being of your souls. Give such an example to the ungodly among whom you live that they will see God's goodness in your lives, even when they bring all manner of false accusations against you. For your example will help them to embrace the glory of God that is to be revealed when Christ returns. Set a good example by having a submissive attitude to all those in authority over you. You are to do this for the Lord's sake, and so on. Oh, Lord, we just praise you. We bless you for your word. We just give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Purata parazata parazita balanduma. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Give you all the glory, Jesus. All the honor, all the praise. Now, just before we finish, just thank the Lord that there's no condemnation for any failure of the past. Right? If you've asked God to forgive you, what's past is past. It doesn't exist anymore. You have a new clean sheet of paper now. Hallelujah. That's the great thing about forgiveness, isn't it? He wipes the record clean. He keeps no record of wrongs. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord. We've got a clean start now. And we give you all the glory that by your Spirit you're going to enable us. In Jesus' wonderful name. Come on, let's just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.